Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
I'm an ass man.
Right now, Phoenix and the Nuggets, a minute to go in the third quarter. And it's the Suns looking to go up 3-0 with a 14-point lead right now. It is 88-74. Again, still a long time left to go in this, but still, this would be a stranglehold of a series lead for the Phoenix Suns. And look, I told you, I thought the Nuggets would be able to beat them going into this series because, look, it's a bad matchup. Anthony Davis is a bad matchup for the Suns, and the Suns didn't play great basketball in the first series, and clearly Anthony Davis wasn't himself. He was injured, and they kind of escaped. How are they going to slow down Nikola Jokic? Well, they figured out a way to do it in a big way so far through the first two and three quarters games. The Suns shooting has been great. Their supporting cast has been great. I mean it when I said it a couple seconds ago. Utah and Phoenix right now are the only two teams I can see hoisting the Larry O'Brien trophy because they're playing well all around. They have everything going on. Everybody else has problems. They have injuries. They have situations. This has really surprised me. Not that they're winning, because I did think Denver would win, but they're winning like this. Like, it's a series. It doesn't even look like it could go very far. This could be a series that could be over in about a half hour, 45 minutes.
Yeah, Phoenix getting great balance, and the guy you circle in all of this, we know about Devin Booker tonight, not the monster game from Chris Paul, no, but DeAndre Ayton, game after game, coming through with big efforts, 10 points, 15 rebounds on the night. You've got four of the five starters in double figures, and we know Jay Crowder, a good agitator, going out and harassing Jokic a bunch. What you haven't seen, and Morris has picked it up for the bench for Denver to give them a puncher's chance. He's got 17 now, 6 of 7, redemption from a horrible game too, but unfortunately you're really not getting much from the rest of the Denver starters. Rivers and Porter have combined for just 14 points, 5 of 16 from the field, and Michael Porter Jr., some reports, you know, he's in playing injured and he's on the court. And you have to evaluate what's there. So if that's true, yeah, he's gutting it out. But he's not giving them the lift they needed. Horrible shooting first two games, just 3 of 11 tonight. So when you circle it, you've got Jokic with his 23, 15, and 7. Support is hard to come by, particularly from that starting unit.
Well, and look, yeah, you hit it on the head with DeAndre Ayton. He has done a great job in slowing Jokic down. He hasn't stopped him because this is the MVP, but he has done enough, and they've done enough to slow him enough where he's not single-handedly been able to take over games. And boy, Jokic here with 38 and 17, and boy, what a great night. No, he's not been able to do that, and that's been a lot of credit for the Suns. But this is now when you see, hey, when you're missing one of the most dynamic players in the game in Jamal Murray, this is where it starts to get you. When you get to the playoffs, and it's about the stars. Teams with the most stars usually win. And when you have two stars, because that's what the Nuggets have, they have Jokic, they have Jamal Murray. When you have two stars, you're missing one of them, your job in the playoffs gets incredibly difficult. Because look at the Nets, right? It feels like the Nets have no problems right now, right? Look, they win the first round series pretty easy. They're up 2-1 over the Bucks. It was a bad game last night. They're doing without James Harden, and they're still up 2-1. This is where it's going to get geometrically tougher for the Nets without a third star. Because you're looking at things happening now where for the Nets, let's just say, okay, here's a series with the Bucks, and now the Bucks could get back in it here, right? This could be the Bucks defensively figuring something out, getting back in it. But these are guys that haven't played a lot of minutes. And now because James Harden's not there, Kyrie and KD have to play so many more minutes than they're used to. These guys have not played a lot of basketball together. They've not played a lot of minutes of basketball like this. And as the playoffs go on, things get more physical. They have to play more minutes. Their effectiveness is going to wane a bit, and you're playing better teams and better teams that are moving on. It's going to get more difficult. Now, if James Harden comes back, then things are a little bit easier because you're having that. That's why you got him, right? You're adding that superstar, and he's able to take more of the responsibility away. And it could be a game where, hey, Kyrie only plays 28 minutes and he had 17 points and 6 assists, but Harden was 34, 10, and 12, and that's why you won. And KD gave you his normal 30 points. So if he comes back, yeah, no, then I definitely like the Nets. But it's hard to win without stars when you have to win through the NBA playoffs because it's unlike any other playoff. If you are missing your stars in other sports, sometimes you can get around without them. Look, the Eagles won the Super Bowl with Nick Foles, right? They had to make it through a game and a half without, or 2.5 games without their quarterback. They were able to do it. But in the NBA, you earn a championship more so than any other sport, right? There's no surprise runs to the NBA Finals. There may be a surprise one where you win a round, but even not that much anymore because it's best of seven. It's not that quick best of five. Hey, we're down 2-0. Whoa, look what happened. Now we start playing, but somebody ekes out another win. You don't see it. The best teams always make it to the NBA Finals, right? Whether you think they're the best or not, if you're a team that goes through the playoffs, you're like the Heat a few months ago. Heat were easily the best team in the East. Look what they did. They peaked at the right time. They beat everybody they needed to. There's no way you can sidestep things. There's no, oh, hey, boy, we got lucky. Instead of playing Michigan State the next round of the NCAA tournament, we're getting Towson State because they pulled a big upset in the first round. You don't do it. The NBA, it's impossible. So when you look at teams without stars, I look at teams and go, how far can they really go? And if the Nets get James Harden back, I will say, okay, yes, the Nets, absolutely, I can see them winning the title. If they don't get James Harden back, they're going to fall short. They'll fall short against whoever comes out of the West, and they mightn't even make it out of the East. If the Sixers playing this way, they're up over the Hawks right now. The Sixers bench is getting involved now. It's a really big deal for them. It's not just Joel Embiid. This is where if they go up against a team that has it all rolling and suddenly those two stars aren't going to be enough.
As you mentioned, with Embiid, obviously all eyes are the meniscus tear. That report, how long can he gut out whatever the pain threshold is? Thus far, dominant. 127-111 your final tonight. When we go to the back to the Nets, looking at what that squad has been, and when we talked about Bruce Brown, that's fine. Everybody else was awful. And your minutes thing certainly should be noted. Durant and Irving had to play a combined 88 minutes in last night's three-point loss. But that said, shot 8 for 32 as a team from three-point range in a three-point loss. The guys not named Durant, Brown, and Irving, that includes Joe Harris, 1 of 11. Blake Griffin, who had his resurgence, played 30 minutes, kind of quiet. And then the three bench players, you're looking at 6 for 27 from the field. I suspect that will be better to give a little bit more balance and definition to things there for Brooklyn. So still optimistic that they'll be able to get through and James Harden will reemerge at some point in this postseason.
How dare you not mention Bruce Brown's name? How
I did.
Dare you not mention his name?
I did. I said
right by.
No,
you
no,
blew
I mentioned
right
him.
By Bruce
no,
Brown.
I
that
mentioned
night
him.
Was the Bruce Brown game.
I know, but I mentioned him and I moved on. I said,
he's
look,
got a game named after him now.
Bruce
it
Brown.
Was the, it was the it Bruce
was.
Brown game.
But then we hadn't hit send, so we had to go back and edit in live action. Just say, all right, well, he kind of screwed that narrative up.
Mm.
Bad job
wow.
by him. But
wow.
yeah. But watching just now, they had the beginning of fourth quarter, right? So in the timeout between the fourth and or third and fourth quarters, they had the Michael Malone interview, and I really wanted to see because the closed captioning really butchered it. Did he use the word soft or quit to describe how his team had played to this point?
I haven't seen that yet. I think we'll get it maybe after the game is over.
Okay, because at this point, like they've played no defense. Zero.
Twitter it out about a fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Zero. Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. And a quick update right now, because we'll get back to the NBA coming up in a few minutes. Nikola Jokic is on the bench right now to start the fourth quarter, and when he comes back in the game, they may not need him. The Suns have now opened up a 20 6-point lead, 96-76, with 10 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Devin Booker is up to 26. DeAndre Ayton's got 10 and 15. And I'll tell you, this was fun. Just a couple seconds ago, Cameron Payne drove the lane and put in a lefty layup where I think the ball hit the very top of the backboard and came down. And it was one of those bank shots where I go, oh, man, that's going in. I mean, it was all the way at the top above the cylinder. And it goes in for the big lay-in, and the Suns now have a 20-point lead over the Nuggets with 10 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. So maybe not the best night to give Jokic the MVP. I don't know. It hasn't worked out so far.
You know what? They were not motivated. Look at that. That's former Bull Cameron Payne coming up with 9 points off the bench today.
So we'll have more NBA in a bit. But clearly, hey, speaking of NBA, it's kind of NBA. Tonight was the celebrity boxing match between former NBA star Lamar Odom and pop singer Aaron Carter. And it took place at the Showboat Hotel in Atlantic City, New Jersey. Many people are on social media going, please send me the link so I can watch. And people are saying, no, I spent $30 on this. Look, celebrity boxing has its big niche, right? Stuff on Friday, Saturday nights, like Bellator is big. You know, we talk about all that. You have to find the right places. And during the summer, on late nights, on Friday and Saturday, celebrity boxing has an opening, has a niche for it. So Odom and Carter fought tonight. And to say this was a one-sided event is silly, because it was even more than a one-sided event. It was a second-round knockout for Lamar Odom. It was a pay-per-view event, and here's how the knockout went down.
Look out! Look, Aaron's got to let him go! Aaron's got to let the bombs go! He's getting one out! He's getting one out! Aaron, oh, he's down!
Okay,
he's down!
Okay, get up, Aaron. What?
The count. Lamar's got to get to a neutral corner!
There it is on pay-per-view. That was Carly Rae Jepsen yelling for Aaron Carter to get up. I think that's who it was.
Call it, maybe. Call it.
Odom's got to get to a neutral corner. Like, this is Ali Frazier. Odom's got to get to a neutral corner.
No, there's no way to hide. Like, so much of the video from this round plus has shown up. He was doing some weird spin move, thinking he was going to elude Lamar Odom, and it was almost like he was in a shooting gallery. So he'd spin, and he'd come right back with another punch to the head, and then he'd spin the other way. Wait, he's not going anywhere.
No, this whole fight, let me tell you, this is Aaron Carter fought like how I would fight if I had to fight somebody. Because he start, you know, they came to the middle, they came to the middle, and they start the fight, and all Aaron Carter did was sidestep around the outside of the ring. He just went in a complete circle around the outside of the ring, and Odom just kept tagging him with lefts, because, you know, Lamar Odom's reach is like 9 feet. He just keeps tagging him and knocking him around the ring. He's not knocking him straight back. He's like hitting him with like roundhouse punches, and it's just knocking Aaron Carter further along the outside of the ring. And he's just going around and around in a circle, and he keeps hitting him and knocking him down. And then finally in the second round, he hit him enough to knock him down, and Lamar Odom wins the fight. They stop it in the second round. It is a knockout for Lamar Odom. And I really do think they gave Aaron Carter more than 10 seconds to get up. I feel like they gave him a minute to get up, and the count to 10 was 1. You okay? You going to get up here? Yeah, how you feeling? You need a couple more seconds? All right, we'll give you a couple more seconds. 2! You know, a lot of people on pay-per-view here. If this ends before the third round, people are going to be upset. Can you shake off the cobwebs and come fight? Can you do it? 3! That was kind of the way it went.
I feel like we need to find Liddell. How big was the bag you got for showing up for this thing? And at any point, did you want to fight?
See, now how great would that be? But then you'd have to put more money on pay-per-view. Like, after Aaron Carter loses, Liddell just, like, grabs the headgear, puts it on, and starts fighting Lamar Odom.
Sure. Why not?
Now, that would have been pretty cool. Eventually, we're going to get to that. We're going to get to, like, more than one fight in one night. Somebody's going to be fighting two people. It's going to be like Digstown.
Look at you.
Like
nicely done.
In one night. Digstown was a great movie,
Lou
man.
Lou Gossett Jr. Oh,
Digstown
he was so
was
good.
Great. But that's what it's going to be eventually. It's going to be, you know, Money Mayweather fighting both Paul brothers. Like, tell me that's not going to happen. Of course that's going to happen in one night. We're going to see it. Maybe at the same time. Maybe it will be one and then another one. I don't know. But it's going to happen. That's how it's going to go. It's absolutely
I think it has to. And I love it, right? I love enterprise. I love merchandising. Look, because what will happen is we'll watch the receipts, and as soon as you hit your diminishing returns, someone will reinvent it, and twist it another way. But for now, folks are fired up. And it, to the point earlier, though, you know, kind of like watching the NBA playoffs, the NHL playoffs, because I think you discounted those a little bit in your "this is the hardest road" thing, is the fact that we do need a villain to rise up. And I don't think Carter or Odom fit that bill, so we need to have someone that, that brings people in, brings a little bit of extra heat.
I don't know. I think if you had here, and here, this is just me, but if you had a celebrity boxing card that had like three fights of people that I knew and wanted to see fight, because I get that some of it's going to be, well, here's two YouTubers are going to fight, but here comes, sure, you know, Lamar Odom and Aaron Carter. If you did it like the Masked Singer, like if that was the caliber of people that were on the celebrity boxing, right? Like the Masked Singer type. And you had like three fights, I would say, you know what? I would pay $30 for three of those fights to see these six people that I know go at each other. I would see that. One fight, $30 for Lamar Odom and Aaron Carter. I don't know, but if you give me like three of those good fights, yeah, I'd go. It's like a concert, right? Like I once went to see in concert. I'm not lying to you. In concert, I saw, it was Milli Vanilli, and it was Tesla, and then I believe, was it Def Leppard? That was a long time ago, but I think that was like the three bill. I'm like, no, I'm not going to go see.
That's a pretty crazy three bill right there.
I'm not going to go see Milli Vanilli, and they actually opened up with Ain't Talking About Love, right? They come out and play the big guitar solo, and both guys have samurai swords, and they're like, you know, pretending to fight people, and they're high-fiving each other. It was like a show watching that. Like, would I really go to see Tesla as much as I like Love Song? You know, it's one of my favorite songs of all time. I don't know. Would I go spend money to go see Def Leppard? You know, I really like Def Leppard, but were they my absolute favorites? But no, but if you gave me Milli Vanilli and Tesla and Def Leppard, okay, I'll go see all. If you give me those three and I can see all three of them, that I will go see.
Okay, I can get on board with that. I'm thinking of going all the way back to 2002. Celebrity Boxing on Fox, hosted by Chris Rose. Two episodes aired. Bonaducci, Barry Williams, Todd Bridges versus Tank Abbott.
Okay.
And Paula Jones versus Tonya Harding.
Oh, I forgot about that. Paula Jones and Tonya Harding. That's right.
Amy Fisher was supposed to be part of that card. Second episode, that's right. Darva Conger.
Oh, Who Wants to Marry a Millionaire?
Against Olga Corbett.
Really? Olga Corbett? She was a gymnast like in the 70s.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Dustin Diamond versus Ron Palillo. So Screech versus Horshack.
Wow. Okay.
Manute Bol versus The Fridge.
Okay.
And in the main event, Joey Buttafuoco against China.
Wow. That's a lot of notorious people, and a lot of them are no longer with us.
Yeah, those are the two episodes that are.
Wow. Okay. Maybe it was just ahead of its time. Because if you
like absolutely.
That now, I'll watch it. I think it might have been.
If they reboot it, I want to host it. You hear me, Fox? You hear me? Me and Cousin Sal. Let's go. And Smith.
Not me and you? Thanks a lot, jerk. I thought you were my best friend anymore.
No. Because you're the guy that's the agitator.
No, you're done. You're done.
No, because we need the gambling angle with every punch that's thrown.
No, we're not best friends anymore. No, we're not. But we were best friends. Now we're not. No, we're not. We're not. That's how it is.
I had to pull in someone that's in TV over there for us to work with there.
It's the Jason Smith Show with my former best friend, Mike Harmon, here on
please.
Fox Sports Radio. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at I'll Stab You in the Back on Twitter.
Oh!
It's over.
Coming up next, hey, two near huge injuries tonight where everybody's holding their breath to find out what's next, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Was this the opening to the fight tonight between Lamar Odom and Aaron Carter? Was this it? Because this is pretty good, Ty Shirt. I got to say, it might be better than whatever pay-per-view did. That's very nice. I like that. Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Yes, Lamar Odom defeats Aaron Carter using it in time. It's like the scene from Shaun of the Dead when they're beating the zombies to the tune of Don't Stop Me Now.
Yeah.
Just keep hitting them in time to it. Yes, great congratulations movie. To Lamar Odom, who it looked like he was fighting his little brother tonight. You know what it looked like? Honestly, when I saw it, it looked like, okay, Lamar Odom gets announced into the ring to fight. And instead of the guy he's supposed to fight, Aaron Carter was a guy that snuck in ready to fight, like illegally. Like, I'm just a guy that dressed up and got into fight. And they told Lamar Odom, hey, get rid of this guy so the fight can begin. And that's exactly what it looked like with him just chasing him around the ring and continuing to hit him with overhand lefts until Aaron Carter just fell to the ground. I think a lot of it was just the weight of Lamar Odom's arm just hitting Aaron Carter and just knocking him to the ground. I didn't get hit that hard. Just the weight of the arm on me. It's like getting hit with a weighted blanket. Oh, now I'm falling to the ground. I'm falling to the ground.
Dude, I'm going to tell you, just watching that, go and look at those guys in the ring. You're telling me there's only a 6-inch height differential? No chance in hell.
No. No.
Lamar Odom was a good foot plus taller than Carter. You want to talk about punching down. He was punching down, literally.
Yes, he literally was punching down. Oh, we mean he was down a weight class? No. He was just punching down. He was punching down. And how much, but you know, and think about how much they both weighed. Okay, Lamar Odom, let me get up Lamar Odom, because
he's got to have him by what, 50, 60 pounds?
He's a little bit thicker than he was in the NBA. Okay, he's a little bit thicker. So let's say Lamar Odom, not that much, though. Let's say in the NBA he weighed 230. All right, so let's say maybe he goes, what now, about 250? Right? Sure. Would you say that's okay? Because
yeah,
it didn't look
fine.
Like he was out of shape. Right? It didn't
look like he was
out of shape. Okay.
Right.
So Lamar Odom's like 6'7", 250. And Aaron Carter is like 5'8", and he's probably, what, 175 pounds, maybe?
Maybe.
Maybe 165 pounds?
And not even a chiseled 165, 175.
Lee DeLapp, producer, has all the Aaron Carter vital statistics. What do you got, Lee?
The stats they put there on Celebrity Boxing was that Odom's at 6'10 and 239, and Aaron Carter at 6 foot 175, so a difference of about 65 pounds there.
Wait, so 6'10, 239 versus what?
175.
175. And he was 5'8"?
They have him listed at 6 foot.
They list him at 6 feet.
No way.
Come on
now. There's no way. There's just no way. There's no way he's 6 feet tall. It's just not. Okay. So that's what kind of what the fight was about.
It was a better fight than this game.
Yes. I mean, I don't think Aaron Carter, when I read you that fact before, knew what the heights were. He said Lamar Odom is 6'7". Well, he's 6'10". Oh, wow. It's 3 more inches. Okay. There is a big weight change there. Listen, 65 pounds, probably a little bit more, I'm going to say. Because, you know, look, Chuck Liddell was a referee. Was there really even a weigh-in? I mean, does it matter? It's not like, oh, I got to get down to – if I'm under 240, I can fight. If I'm over 240, they're going to call this off. No, it's not going to happen that way. So Lamar Odom wins the fight. Congratulations to Lamar Odom. He decided to box in every other round, just like his NBA career, and the second round was a knockout. So congratulations to him.
Well, you loaded up.
I'm going to run that line into the ground tonight.
I want to know where Carter got that spin technique, though. I mean, that is really innovative.
I don't think it was a spin technique. I think he was just getting knocked around, and he just spun around while the whole thing was happening. I think that's what it was.
Like a top.
Yeah. 2.5 to go in the fourth quarter, and the Phoenix Suns are this close to a 3-0 lead over the Denver Nuggets. Devin Booker's got 28. Chris Paul's got 27 and 7 assists. Nikola Jokic has 30 and 19. It is not nearly enough because Phoenix has a 14-point lead with 2 minutes left to go in this game. And you're talking about the Suns in the Western Conference Finals. One more game from this. Clearly, Phoenix has outclassed Denver the entire way. But as much as this game, we'll have more on this game coming up in a few minutes. Really, there's one guy that I would say he holds the key to the postseason, because teams are going to go far or not depending on his health. And it's not Chris Paul, because Chris Paul, as they said today, the Sun said he's about 90%. Clearly, he looks like he's – now, obviously, it's Chris Paul. He can get hurt at any minute. But the re-injury risk is not something that's big right now. He seems to have been able to take care and is playing really, really well. But maybe the guy – and I also think that Utah would beat the Suns in the Western Conference Finals, which is probably what we're going to get. But the guy who really holds the key to the playoffs in him and his health is Joel Embiid. Tonight, Philadelphia beat Atlanta 127-111. And Embiid had a big night, right? He had 27-9. But it wasn't quite a Joel Embiid dominant night. It was the 76ers support players played really well. Tobias Harris scored 22. Ben Simmons was very good. And the Sixers bench really started to come alive where they hadn't really played well so far. But still, Embiid is someone who, what he's done this year, becoming a top five player in the league and has become, he's had that Shaq realization of, I need my game to be about more than just having fun on social media and being physically dominant. He had a couple of falls tonight. He had a fall tonight that looked scary, and he hit free throws, and he's playing with the bad meniscus, as he has been for a few games now. And he's a guy that, if Joel Embiid is healthy, the Sixers, look, here they are. They're dominating the Hawks right now. They're up 2-1. They could go up 3-1. He holds the key, because if Joel Embiid continues to play, the Sixers are going to say, we can beat the Hawks, and they'll be favored to beat the Nets, because the Nets have all kinds of injury problems. But if Joel Embiid gets hurt and he can't come out, you're talking about the Nets being able to waltz into the NBA Finals. Or this is if the Nets even have to play. The Sixers might lose in this round, then suddenly the Nets will have to play the Hawks. And that would be a rough matchup for the Hawks, because clearly the Nets, their firepower matches up well greatly with them. So you're talking about, if Joel Embiid is hurt, it turns the Nets from a team that maybe they can make it to, oh man, the Nets are going to go to the NBA Finals. So that's why I look at Embiid and I say his injury status, because he's a guy that now officially you hold your breath every time he plays, because he's just that guy now. He's big and he gets around, but clearly he's injury prone, and we've seen him get hurt a couple of times. He holds the key to everything. His health, yeah, Sixers are there, man. They're a reason they're the top team. He's not there, door is wide open, and that's when the Nets go through it.
You know, what's funny is you throw up the idea of Embiid, you know, you're holding your breath now. It's like, for Sixers fans, that's been reality since he actually stepped foot on a court in 2016, right? Because they had to wait for him a couple of years before he actually got out there. So every fall, every injury report, every missed game is the here we go again, which is why the regular season, as dominant as he was, had to be frustrating as hell, because you're trying to figure out what reality is versus what's being put out in the media. All right, it's not serious. He'll be ready to go when it's crunch time. But will he really? Right? How much of it comes in, is it into spin versus reality? Likewise now with the meniscus. He's been an absolute beast these first couple of games of this series. And you're like, all right, can this continue? Can he keep this pace and somehow, whatever the pain threshold is, can he push it aside? Tonight, 27-9-8 in 34 minutes played, 7-14 from the field, 12-16 from the free throw line, plus 16 for the night. Just a fantastic performance all around. And you're watching this, and it's magnificent. I still don't know that it's enough for Brooklyn when it's all said and done. But you know what? That's a matchup I can't wait to see. And to see at that point, do you have all three guys back, or are we still having our celebrations of Bruce Brown and Joe Harris like we have thus far in the playoffs, where they're taking double-digit shots most night to try to make up for Harden's absence? Think about
Twitter
that
and how
for
about
a second.
Go ahead, buddy. Finish up.
No, just think about that for a second. Look at those names I just threw out as guys that have to pick up their games in the absence of James Harden.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Oh!
Suns beat the Nuggets 116-102. They take a 3-0 lead in the Western Conference semis. And here the Suns one step away from the West Finals. I feel like it's 1995 again. We're going to watch Dan Majerle and Chris and Charles Barkley, you know, get at it and try to get over and get up to the NBA Finals. Oh, what a fun time we're headed for, Mike Harmon. It's back in the desert. Dan Majerle. We're going to talk about Thunder Dan Majerle for a while.
Thunder Dan all jacked up.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because he was swole.
He was.
And he was orange.
Yes,
like
was.
If you want to talk about a guy that embodied the team colors, nobody did so better than Dan Majerle.
The good news is your business doubled. The even better news is Indeed can help you hire the right people without the wait times of the typical recruiting process. That's because Indeed has a great hiring platform where you can make calls, schedule virtual interviews, and talk to candidates over video right from your easy-to-use employer dashboard. It's just another reason Indeed delivers four times more hires than all the other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest. Find your next great hire at Indeed.com/credit. That's Indeed.com/credit. Well, looking at the NBA landscape right now, we watched the 76ers win tonight, you know, easily. We watched the Suns win easily tonight over the Denver Nuggets. Tonight, Nikola Jokic gets the MVP, and it's like, really, tonight? You give it to me tonight? When
hey, come on. He got his triple-double, and then he checked out.
Yeah, I'm done. All right, everybody. Hey, it's not my fault. I missed Jamal Murray.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's Bol Bol to finish this off.
Ladies and gentlemen, Guns N' Roses can't appear tonight, so instead we have Bol Bol. But clearly, the way the NBA playoffs sit right now, we're getting into June 12th, it's June 11th, and if you ask me right now and say, Jason, what two teams do you think can win the NBA title out of all the teams that are left? And regardless to who I pick to go to the NBA Finals, what two teams can win the NBA Finals? And I will tell you in order, it is the Utah Jazz and the Phoenix Suns. One, two. The Jazz are just a little bit better than the Suns, but right now both teams really have it all rolling, right? The stars are playing great, right? You're seeing Donovan Mitchell do everything for the Jazz. Now suddenly everybody's jumping on my, hey, you know, Donovan Mitchell's really good take. Rudy Gobert is doing enough in support. The role players are playing extremely well for the Jazz. They're getting sixth man of the year type production out of Jordan Clarkson. Same thing for the Phoenix Suns, except just a little bit less, right? The stars are good. Devin Booker and Chris Paul have been really good. Not quite as good as Mitchell and Gobert have been. Okay, the supporting cast has been really good. Not quite as good as the Jazz, but still really, really good. And you talk about the bench. You look at like Cameron Payne coming off the bench, and he certainly has his moments, but he hasn't quite been Jordan Clarkson coming off the bench. But clearly, you're talking about now, it's the Jazz and the Suns, and really it's everybody else, because everybody else has problems, right? The Clippers are incredibly inconsistent. They're incredibly inconsistent. The series is over for the Nuggets. They're done. Nikola Jokic just looked like he was completely done and checked out at the end of this game. We're done. We're going home. That's it. Then you go through the teams in the East. If the Nets had James Harden, I would say, okay, all right, hey, the Nets. But without James Harden, and those guys haven't played a lot of minutes, they got to keep playing more minutes as the playoffs go on. I got problems with the Nets. Philadelphia, their bench has not been really good until just right now, and they don't quite have the star power that the other teams do. Atlanta's role players haven't been as consistent. And Milwaukee, you wonder, do they have firepower, or does it just have to be Giannis and Middleton every single night? And good luck, where else are you going to get some kind of production by? So all those other teams are flawed. They all are. And right now, Utah and Phoenix are playing the best. And I go, Utah won, they can win the title. Phoenix is next. And really, that's it. And whoever wins, if those are the two teams in the West Conference Finals, there's your team that's winning the NBA title this year. Because I don't see any team the way they sit right now coming out of the East that I could say, yep, the team coming out of the East is going to beat whoever comes out of the West. I can't see it.
Yeah, I still look at Brooklyn as a team where I'm expecting a little better play from the supporting role players. But to that point of James Harden, I don't know how much I like Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant having to play, you know, 88, 86, upper 80s combined minutes. That's just not good for business over couple of more seven-game series, as we know. Embiid's health, you know, do whatever you need to do. Light a candle and hope. Danny Green left the game. He's hurt, so a question of his availability. Not that he's a guy that was putting up huge numbers, but good role player for them. They're going to need some more support. Defensively, I've got no questions there, but when you get a game from Simmons like tonight, 18 points, 7 assists, 4 boards, and Seth Curry with his 12. So, I mean, if you're going to get 30 to go along with what Embiid's bringing, they're going to be awful hard to beat. I would concur. And, look, I went for the wrong non-LA team on the Western side of things, thinking Michael Porter Jr. and some of the moves they made in Denver would be enough to get them to push forward. Instead, we got Chris Paul playing some of the best basketball we've seen of Chris Paul, and that says a lot given the man's career. And most importantly, it's in the second round of the playoffs, something we've not been able to say about Chris Paul in his long and illustrious career. Right, tonight, 27-6-8, plus 8 for the game. All 5 Suns players in double figures, led by Booker at 28 to just edge out Paul's 27. And then you got a little bit of activity off the bench. We talked about Cameron Payne before with his 9. Saric had 7. So if you're going to get a little bit of a boost there, and some of that's garbage time because you're beating the hell out of the Nuggets. But you look at that starting 5, and I'm circling DeAndre Ayton, right? Another guy we talk about like Joel Embiid, I think. Obviously not with the history as long, but certainly to the same effect of, can this guy stay healthy and be consistent? 10 and 15 tonight, 37 minutes played, plus 18, bothered the hell out of Jokic. Right, if you're going to get him, and not that he can't knock down mid-range jumpers, but you saw how frustrated he was by the middle of the second quarter from all the hits he was taking. Right, and the referee finally was like, "All right, I got to call a technical on you because you've done this now for 35 minutes. So shut up." But like, they just frustrated the hell out of him. What is that doing? It's taking, you know, you're shooting, you know, a beat, you know, off of your normal jump shot, and you're forcing it to get it up because you don't want more contact, and you're also looking at a little bit of space knowing that your secondary players aren't going to be there. Yeah, Ayton absolutely huge right now. So I can't wait to see he and Rudy Gobert beat the hell out of each other next round.
You know, and it's funny you say that, because it's not that, like, you look at Nikola Jokic tonight, and he had a good night, but you look at a triple-double, you go, wow, but it really wasn't that great a triple-double. A lot of those stats were empty stats near the end when the game was out of reach, and it's not that they've slowed him down, but, you know, as much attention as Chris Paul is getting and Devin Booker, obviously, the way Ayton is playing, being able to slow down Jokic like this, I did not see that happening. I did not see him being able to be a guy that could be controlled to the point where, hey, we let him have some of his stats, a lot of them are empty, and we can wind up winning the series pretty easy. I did not see that. I thought after game one, Jokic adjusts, and every game is 35, 17, and 10. And it's going to be that kind of night for him. But, like, you know, even though he had it tonight, it really didn't matter at the end because they were winning by so many points because Ayton has made it difficult for him. You know, his shooting, Jokic's shooting is not, he's kind of a volume shooting right now, and you can't be a volume shooter as a big man. That's kind of, you know, that's very difficult to try to maintain. So it's clearly, you know, you got to give the Suns all the credit because they are just dominating and winning this series. They're playing their best basketball now. And all we did was count out the Jazz and the Suns. They're regular season teams. Maybe they're a couple of years away. Now the Lakers will get there. The Clippers will get there. The Nuggets will do it. I like the Blazers. We talked about all the, except for the two teams at the very top of the West. Anybody else is coming out of the West. We're not getting these two teams.
But it's funny because we talked about them a lot and we loved them, but just didn't pick them. Right, I mean, I went to the number 3 seed. You loved your Clippers, and look, I was banking on more from Michael Porter Jr. Just seeing some of the games he had last year, where it's like, all right, this guy's got the mentality. He can pick up not one for one what Jamal Murray was doing, but at least keep you honest. He's shooting 36% from the field in this series, averaging just 13.7. That's just not going to get it done.
Twitter out, how about a Fresca? Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Hey, if you miss any of our show, don't forget our Best Of podcast goes up right after the show is over on iTunes. You can use the iHeartRadio app. It's wherever you listen to podcasts. You can get the Best Of. Listen, subscribe, rate us. We'll love you forever and ever and ever. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, iTunes. Wherever you listen to podcasts, you can get it. Subscribe, rate us. We'll love you. Coming up next, Rick Bucher, NBA insider extraordinaire, stops by. We ask and answer all the big questions after tonight in the NBA playoffs. He's a must. Keep it right here, Fox.